Today on Real Life Radio.
Jesus will take us to the lost, my friends. Don't look left or right. He's going to take us to the brokenhearted. He's going to take us to those who are scared. He's going to take us to those who have no home. He's going to take us to those who are deceived, because that's where you'll find Jesus.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, the Lord wants us to understand just how amazing our future is going to be, to confirm in our hearts what we know to be true about the end times, and to look forward to our eternal life in heaven with Him. We may live in a crazy, mixed-up world, but we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, God's Word to strengthen us, and a future that is worth waiting for. This is why Pastor Jack has devoted his website to the kind of content that keeps our minds on Christ and provides us with some great sound biblical doctrine to meditate upon. So head over to our website, that's jackhibbs.com, check out the media section, devotions, and how to know God in a personal way. You can also access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and more Real Life Radio episodes. Again, the website is jackhibbs.com, that's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Going Where Jesus Goes. Now, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as really only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we continue into these final verses of chapter 9, we're heading toward a complete change of scenery with many challenges along the way. You see, Jesus is now living out his last 6 months here on earth. He's on the road with his disciples, setting his eyes on Jerusalem. There he'll die, of course, a painful death on the cross, but looking forward to a glorious resurrection. Now, interestingly enough, there will be more Old Testament prophecies fulfilled on this incredible journey than any other time in history. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that going where Jesus goes is where the gospel needs to go. Where people are lost and broken, scared, without hope. It's why we need to consider if there's anyone or anything that's preventing us from deciding to follow Jesus. Now, with his message called Going Where Jesus Goes, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It's hard to lead your family to Christ. Have you tried? You can witness, man. You can hit the streets and preach, and a crowd gathers around. I remember being sick to my stomach. Coming home from a trip in 1992, that sounds like 1776 now. I came home from a trip from Moscow, Russia in 1792. And I said, Dad, we were on the streets in Russia in front of Lenin's tomb preaching the gospel. In front, 20 feet from Lenin's tomb preaching the gospel. And my dad was so mad at that, he got so angry. That's ridiculous. You spend that money and you go over there to tell the Russians that they can have eternal life? That's ridiculous. My dad was not a Christian, and being a military man, he did not want the Russians to find out that they could have eternal life. He was mad at me. But you know what? 1 week before he died, he said, tell me again about this Jesus of yours. And he prayed and accepted the Lord on the phone and died 7 days later. Hey, I don't care if it's 70 years or 7 minutes. You got to follow him now. Urgency. Jesus is inviting this man to eternal life. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says, our lives are a fragrance represented by Christ to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those being saved and by those perishing. In other words, look at you. Look at me. We're walking around and we have, remember Pigpen and Peanuts cartoons? Remember Pigpen everywhere he goes? Anybody know Pigpen? Okay. Remember where he goes, you can see the odor or and the dust and the dirt? Well, convert that into a good smell, and that's the Christian. We're walking around with our blanket. Or if that's the guy, well, it doesn't matter. We're walking around in the dust and the stink and all this stuff, except instead of flies flying around us, there's angels around us. And we have this aroma of the fragrance of Christ. But the Bible there in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 is very, very accurate. It says, to those who are perishing, We are like the smell of death. To those who are saved, we are like life-giving perfume. Have you ever heard of this? It's pretty profound. Birds of a feather, what? Flock. Yeah. Spiritually, the Lord says, what fellowship does a believer have with an unbeliever? I mean, we work with non-believers. We live with non-believers. We have to, but we don't fellowship with them. We don't tell them our deepest, darkest secrets of life and our desires and our goals. They don't understand. Can you imagine going to a non-believer and saying, I want to be more like Christ? I mean, the guy will go out and get a hammer and nails and nail you to the house. He doesn't understand. Okay, then. They don't get it. Urgency. Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. There's people that are spiritually dead, and they don't care. So Jesus is not teaching disrespect, and he's not teaching anything but priority in life. Yesterday, this is not in my notes. It's just kind of fun. Yesterday, I don't usually go out of the house on Saturdays. I'm usually studying all day long. I got ahead, and Lisa said, can you go? She knows. She's so smart. She's looking, how you doing in your study? Good, I'm almost done. Great, I've been praying for you. Okay, super. So I'm studying. Then, you know, an hour later, yeah, are you done? I think I'm done. I think I'm done enough. Good, because you know what? I want you to go to the store with me. You guys, women since the garden can be very dangerous. She knows I can't say no because I have my Bible open. Will you go to the store with me? Yes! Yes. I don't want to go. But the Bible is like saying, you got to go. You got to go. Minister to your wife. Love your wife. You got to go. Where are we going? Steinmart? And Albertsons. Praise the Lord. And I go, we go, and we're in Steinmart, and we meet four people from church in Steinmart. And it's so fun because watch what happens. This is Steinmart. First stop, Steinmart. And it's pretty packed yesterday. And by the way, as everyone's shopping around, you know, Brenda, Pastor Jack, Lisa, hi, praise the Lord, God bless you. Checking out, people walking in, hey, Pastor Jack. Christians are loud people. And people get really quiet. And it's, you would have thought that Steinmart was the living room of our houses. Hey, how you doing? Praise the Lord. See you tomorrow. God bless you. Oh, my granddaughter. Oh, pray. Oh, great. Awesome. So then we get in the car, and we drive to Albertsons. And saw you at Albertsons, right? We're at Albertsons. Hey, praise the Lord. God bless you. In line. Hey, Pastor Jack. And checkout person, box person. Hey, Pastor. We wound up meeting seven people in Albertsons. And Albertsons, you know, people are, they're on a mission. But what are we? It's now the living room of our house. Hey, praise the Lord. How you doing? God bless you. And people get really quiet. Can they do that publicly? Can they just talk about God like that? It's absolutely awesome. It's absolutely beautiful. The point that I'm making is this. We talk like this, and all of a sudden, in a sense, the world shuts down and listens because they want what we have. They want the fellowship. They want the connection. There's a sense of urgency. I want that. And then when you say, Jesus, it's like, oh, you can only have that through Jesus. Yes, that's true. And then necessity. Jesus says, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. That's the answer. Go and preach. I don't want to spend much time on this other than to say this. As Christians, what are you and I doing? Personally, God speaks this to me, and I know he speaks it to you. Jack, what are you doing personally to either go or preach the kingdom? That's not even an option. If I call him Lord, then I am to be going and preaching the kingdom. Now, you might say, well, I can't go. That's fine. Are you sending the preaching and the going of the gospel? The team's in France right now. And some of you helped them go. Awesome. Personally, every single one of us should have helped them to go. Russia's coming up. Every one of us. I don't care, my dear friend, if it's $1 that you give to help a team member get to Russia or get to Germany. You got to help them. Are you a Christian? Yes. Is he your Lord? Yes. Then he says, go. Where? Wherever he says, whatever opportunity he brings, and preach. I don't know how. Then send somebody who does. Huh? Send somebody who does. Or go. Hey, you don't even have to leave this nation any longer. Go to Cal Poly Pomona and preach Christ. It's amazing. There's people on that campus, they don't even know who Jesus is. Amazing. Necessity. Third point, Jesus goes to our devotions. 61 and 62, devotion to his authority. And another also said, Lord, they all started out the same way. I will follow you. We've heard that before. Again, this man recognizes the greatness, the value of Jesus' words and the need of the kingdom. This man is verbally ascribing to Jesus, Lord, he's ascribing his authority. Jesus, I believe that you are the authority. But his decision to act upon that declaration is altogether different. The Bible says in Revelation 19, verse 6, that Jesus Christ is omnipotent. Did you know that? Jesus is omnipotent, all-powerful. God is all-powerful. Jesus is all-knowing. He's all wisdom. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is God revealed in flesh to mankind. The authority of Jesus Christ and the devotion that we should pay towards him is ultimate. And we are not to say Lord in word, but more in action. Colossians 2:19, this is a great verse. Colossians 2:19 says, for in him, that is Christ Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. By the way, chew on that for a while. That's the plurality of the singleness of God. As Christians, we are monotheistic. We believe in one God. Colossians 2:9 says, there's one God, but in Christ Jesus, he represents and unfolds to us the nature and the person of God. For why? It says that he is revealed to us the fullness of God bodily. That is the word in a corporeal or physical sense. When you looked at Jesus walking, you were looking at the very person of God in human skin. John 1, verse 1 and 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Awesome. Secondly, under this point is leadership. Jesus goes to our devotions to challenge leadership. Devotion to his leadership. He says, this man says, let me first go and bid them farewell who are in my house. You say, what's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. In Mark chapter 10, verse 29, the Bible says that Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, that is country, for my sake and for the gospel's sake, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands or countries, with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first. What is he saying? That there is a life of devotion to the Lord that transcends even the closest relations that we have in blood.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
I don't mean to offend anybody at all, but my friend, listen, I pray this is true for all of us. If you're a Christian today, then you have deep spiritual fellowship with at least one other person on this planet. You should have more. It's called koinonia in Greek. It is, in fact, it's where you come away with this thought. If blood is thicker than water, a term used for family tightness and closeness, then spirit is thicker than blood. Is it not true that for many of us who are Christians, those Christian friends of ours are closer to us than blood relatives. How can that be true? It's by the Spirit of God. How does that happen? By letting the Lord lead us in life. And this man is declaring, I got to go home first. My priorities and my devotions and my focus is on them first. Church, listen. It's always, always, always God first, family second, ministry third, and whatever else after that. God first, family, ministry. You can't love God, have a messed up family, and be involved in ministry. You love God, you take care of your family, and then God out of that will use you in ministry. Jesus is not contradicting that. God first. This man needs to start out with God first. And he's having a hard time with that leadership. Exodus 20 verse 3 says, of course you know this, you shall have no other gods before me. And then third, we end with this devotion to his duty. Jesus says in verse 62, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What an amazing statement. No one having put his hand to the plow. Jesus' point is this, don't look back. If you're going to follow me, you can't look back anymore. You can't look back at idols. You can't look back at your old life. You can't look back at anything that would pull you off the course. He's not saying divorce yourself from your family. He's not saying neglect your father. He's not saying that you can't have a life in the sense of this is how I once was. He's saying, can I put it this way? Get over it. Get beyond it. Put it in its proper place and follow me. Why look back? In Philippians 3:13, Paul the Apostle gave that incredible statement. Just really a commentary on this verse in Paul's life. Brethren, he says, I do not count myself to have apprehended. That is, I have not finally finished the course which Jesus has gotten a hold of me on, but this one thing I do. I forget those things that are behind me, and I reach forward to those things that are ahead of me. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Please, quickly in closing, we know what this is like. I want you to associate yourself with something in your life and then use it as an illustration for your Christianity from this time onward. What is it in your life? Think about it. What do you do that you can't mess up? I've seen some women in this church who are incredible. I don't know what you call it, but what's it called? Calligraphy. Amazing. I can't do that. But they've got a system, and they got it down, and it's perfect how they do that. My utmost respect. There are some of you, I know there's some of you who are pilots in here, and commercial airline pilots. And that's very critical. You imagine going down the runway, Delta Flight 492, and you're clear to take off, and the pilot's going down, and he wants to start looking out the other side of the window. Can you imagine? Look, a pretty fire truck. You don't want that guy looking left or right. You want his face glued to the windshield of that plane. And they do that. They're not looking around. Maybe some of you are farmers. I know that's getting rare in this region. Everything's being built on, but what if you are plowing? How many of you mow your own lawns? Raise your hand. If you care about mowing your lawn, you got to look across the yard and set a target. Why? Because I don't know about you, but I'm a freak about the lawn being mowed straight. And I got my lawnmower. And I don't look at the lawnmower, I don't look at the wheels, I look across the yard at something. And you start and you move toward it. Jack! Don't talk to me when I'm mowing. And then here's the thing. Are you guys as sick as I am, or is it just me? Is it me? You get all the way across? I want to see how straight it is. If I look to the left or to the right, my lawnmower goes off. Jesus says, don't be like that when you're following me. Let's follow Jesus. Yes, Lord, let's go. I'll follow you anywhere. Okay, let's go. Whoa, look at that. You'll crash. You'll burn. You'll get off course. Jesus is saying, I want you to count the cost. It's where the gospel needs to go. We follow him. Don't look left or right. Jesus will take us to the lost, my friends. Don't look left or right. He's going to take us to the brokenhearted. He's going to take us to those who are scared. He's going to take us to those who have no home. He's going to take us to those who are deceived, because that's where you'll find Jesus. And we'll never get there with him if we look to the left or to the right. Father, we pray this morning. We dedicate our lives to you, Lord God. Father, there is, in a sense, great terror when we ask you, Lord. But we must ask you. We have to ask you to please have your way in our lives, Lord. Please have your rule, your reign, your lordship in our lives. Father, we pray in Jesus' name that as Christians this morning, as we look at the storm clouds gathering in the spirit realm, cults are on the rise, Christians are being dismantled because they don't know the truth. These are dark days. Father, we pray that you would lead us into an ever-deepening filling of your spirit and an anointing, Lord God, for these hours in which we live in. May we truly be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, my friend, if you are not a Christian or if you're not sure, listen carefully. This morning, you need to say to him that you want your sins forgiven, that Jesus, you understand, died on the cross for your sins, that you can't save yourself, you can't better yourself, that this morning you throw yourself down at his feet and say, oh God in heaven, save me from my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose again from the dead. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. Be real in my life. I want to follow you wherever you go. Maybe this morning the Spirit of God is saying to your heart, you must follow me. Don't put it off. Don't delay. This is the moment. You let him know now. Father, bless this church. Galvanize it this week for what lies ahead. Lord, as they go to their place, as they go, Father, to their jobs and to their homes and to their neighborhoods and to their places, Father, be upon them. God, may the world know that they've been with Jesus. Father, anoint them. And may they enjoy the reality that it is the Lord God living your holy life through them, and may they see it. Lord, bless these your people in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Going Where Jesus Goes. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message today, Going Where Jesus Goes, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, are you struggling with the existence of God? Well, you're not alone. A lot of folks are. And we are very excited to make available to you our current featured resource. It's called He Who Thinks Has to Believe. It's by A.E. Wilder Smith. Now, this book's been out of print for quite some time now, and access to this great book has been quite a journey, but Pastor Jack really believes it was well worth the challenge. Wilder Smith has 7 doctorates. He's been a consultant to NATO and the European Union. But you see, his passion and love for Jesus surpasses every other thing he's ever done, as he takes science and uses it as a tool for the gospel. So whether you're maybe a young teenager or college student or an adult struggling over God's existence, or even maybe you've been enticed to leave your faith, you're going to want to get a hold of this book. You see, Dr. Wilder Smith will challenge you to look around at your observable universe, and through allegories and fantastic stories, you really can only come to one conclusion: God's existence and his unconditional love for you. He Who Thinks Has to Believe by A.E. Wilder Smith is yours for a gift of any amount. And it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.